And welcome to Community Kitchen. Getting closer to Christmas, almost the end of the year. Just speaking with people, it just seems that we're getting so much faster. Everyone expects a quick answer to things. Big response puts a lot of pressure on. So fantastic that we can actually take that bit of chill out time and have a few days off with our family and friends. Christmas cutter biscuits. I give this recipe every year because it is just fantastic. It doesn't fall apart. The kids can work with it for ages and roll it out and cut it and shape it and pound it and break it. And it just works. And also, you can actually make a few logs and put them in the fridge now and cut them out later. But 3.5 cups of plain flour, sifted, 2 cups of icing sugar, sifted, about 1.5 teaspoons of baking powder. Remember to check your date because I pulled mine out the other day and it was totally expired. It makes a big difference to cooking. 2 lemons zested. A large cup, about 250 grams, of unsalted butter. 3 egg yolks. Keep the whites. You'll use it for meringues. And if you want, you can put a couple of drops of orange blossom water in them. It just is nice. Or even just your beautiful vanilla. Preheat the oven to about 180 degrees. Not fan force when I give the actual temperatures. You place the flour, icing sugar, baking powder and lemon zest in your food processor and just pulse it to combine. You can do it by hand. Add your butter and, of course, if you were, you'd just be putting little bits of that in and just making into a fine breadcrumbs. Add the egg yolks and the blossom water if you have it and process till it all comes together. And when I say comes together, like when you're making pastry in a food processor, you'll see how all of a sudden it just all forms into a beautiful ball. Turn out to onto a board and you wrap in glad wrap and refrigerate for about 2 hours. What I normally do is I do that a bit flat when I'm putting that in the fridge. But then you roll the dough out to about 4 centimetres thick and start cutting. Bake for 15 minutes until golden. Now these are just, it's a really wonderful recipe because it doesn't break apart. You can cut, you can decorate, you can put holes through it, hang them off the tree, give them as gifts, make them into gingerbread men. You can use the actual recipe to make the little house. But even just some very simple icing, I love to just use something like icing sugar with a little bit of lemon juice, sifted icing sugar, of course, and it just makes like a bit of a glaze. And if you just put that on top, some nice sparklies, some goodies, absolutely beautiful and ever, ever so simple, but it is a sensationally good recipe and it works every time, which I really like. Now, something a little bit different, rather than having a sweet, you can always do some nice cheese biscuits. Now you need about 1/2 cup of butter, which is about 100 grams, 1.5 cups of Parmesan cheese, 1 cup of Bezen flour, and that's a chickpea flour. It just gives a great texture. 1/4 teaspoon of salt and about 1/4 cup of poppy or sesame seeds. Now, this is on to a moderately low oven. You process the butter and cheese till combined. Add your flour and salt and mix until the mixture just comes together. And you roll the log into about a 25 centimetre log. Roll the log in seeds. Wrap in the glad wrap and refrigerate for a couple of hours. Line your tray with baking paper. And then cut the log into about 5 millimetre thick pieces and about 3 centimetres apart on the tray. Bake for about 15 minutes. And they're just delicious. But just imagine if you've got a little box of those. Great to have with some cheese. They're homemade, no preservatives, everything straight out of the actual home cook's oven, which I really like. I think these things taste really nice. And, of course, a good old shortbread. I love shortbread. It's it is nice. Sometimes I forget to make it because, you know, we all seem to have so many jobs to do. 125 grams of butter, which is about 1/2 cup. Room temperature, 1/2 cup of icing sugar, about 1/2 cup of corn flour or rice flour. Now, the corn flour is going to give it a smoother, the rice flour gives that. I like the texture. You can mix it together and do a quarter of each if you want, and a cup of plain flour. Once again, this is a moderately slow oven, so you could probably do the shortbread and the cheese together when you're cooking them. Cream the butter and the icing sugar. Add the flours and mix well. Don't overmix it. Gently pat onto the baking paper lined tin if you're going to do one large piece, or you can do with small shapes. If you are doing into a large piece, remember to do some nice, if you're doing it in a circle, you can press the thumbs around the edge just to make a nice border like you do with your pastry when you're making a pie. You can prick the uncooked shortbread with a fork and bake until golden brown. Cut it into squares, fingers or wedges. Just beautiful. But shortbread is nice. You can also do it into the log and cut off nice rounds. Now, if you want to, some people actually roll their shortbread before baking in sugar. You can do that. I like it with a little bit of lemon rind on it, but you can just leave it nice and plain. So there's some really nice little ideas just to, once again, as a gift or for your pleasure. When we come back, we're going to be talking fudge. Because once again, it's something that's a bit indulgent. It's delicious, nice to have. People call in, have some shortbread and some fudge or goodies, or give it as a gift. And today, of course, we're also going to be looking at stuffing. It's Christmas. We need to think a little ahead of what we're doing for the Christmas period, get our shopping list together, have a bit of fun and get some cooking happening with Annette on Community Kitchen. And we're always talking food here. It's Christmas time. I'll be back shortly. We're talking treats. And I think sometimes it's just nice, isn't it, just to have that bit of fudge. I had some caramel fudge just recently and I hadn't had it for a long time and I thought, how delicious. Now, one cup of milk, about a quarter of a cup of golden syrup, 4 tablespoons of butter, 2 cups of sugar. So you line a square tin with baking paper. Boil the milk, the syrup, the butter and the sugar until it's a soft ball stage, about 7 minutes. And you can just test it by rubbing together a little of the fudge between your fingers. If it forms a soft ball, it's ready to actually set. But be careful because it's hot. Just take that little bit out, put it on the baking paper and test. And then when you've poured that into the tin, you leave it to set. And that is a really nice, rich recipe. And chocolate fudge, I think, is one of my favourites. When I was a kid and we grew up in the bush, you'd always have like street stalls and even kombucha when we first moved here. I love that because you would find that there were a lot of community groups that would hold a stall and you'd get, you know, you'd really look forward to some of those favourite things that people cooked. And over the years, of course, food is a trademark with a lot of people because you go to that family function and you're hoping that, you know, Auntie Marge has made her fantastic marshmallows or Bob's made his fantastic relish. There's always that connection of memory with food. So chocolate fudge when I was a kid was a really lovely memory. And Mum's particular recipe she used was 2 cups of sugar, 2 tablespoons of cocoa, remember to sift, and 10 dessert spoons. Now, that's a dessert spoon, not a tablespoon, not a teaspoon. It's just what Mum always used was 10 dessert spoons of milk, 1 tablespoon of butter and vanilla. Once again, line your tin with baking paper. Boil the sugar, the coconut and milk for about 10 minutes and remove from the heat and beat in the butter and the vanilla and beat until thick. And that was the trick because it just gave this beautiful texture, not the real dense fudge. It was almost like a little bit crunchy and I absolutely love that. I still remember that. You know, people love coconut ice. Fudge for me was one of those things and I haven't had it for a long time. So nice to have that memory of those old foods. And, of course, sometimes you can make different types of sweets, which can be a bit faster. Medjool dates are absolutely beautiful if you just split them, take the seed out, put some chocolate in there, and you can put some pecans on there. You can put whatever nuts you like on there and bake them in the oven. I even saw a recipe on social media the other day where they split open the medjool and put some beautiful cheese on there, as in a soft cheese, a brie or camembert, and then they drizzle that with honey and walnuts and bake that. And it looked absolutely delicious. So these are good little tiny quick things that actually get you through that period for Christmas where you maybe want to give a little gift. Just delicious. And of course, don't forget the good old condensed milk, where you can actually boil that, and you need to boil that for a couple of hours. But keeping that can in the fridge, it's fantastic if you've got some of those little homemade shells, because you can have some beautiful little individual tarts, which are just fantastic. I still believe that boiling the condensed milk tastes differently to the one that's on the shelf, but that's just my matter of opinion. But I think it's a good thing to do, because the caramel is absolutely delicious when it's cooked like that, and it's very simple. I mean, it's just sweetened condensed milk that's actually cooked for a period of time. Remember to watch that can when you're doing it in the saucepan. It must be covered with water at all times. So it's something that you're doing when you're actually working in the kitchen, so you can keep a bit of an eye on it. When we come back, we're going to be talking about stuffings, because it makes a big difference, I think, how to whatever you're cooking with the right stuffing. You're with Annette on Community Kitchen. And welcome back to Community Kitchen. We're talking Christmas today. And we've talked biscuits, we've talked fudge and a few little yummy things. And I thought we'd share some recipes for stuffing. I know some butchers around give the service of actually, if you are getting your pork roll there, or you know, chicken stuffed or turkey stuffed, they will actually give you the option to bring the stuffing in. But be aware that you can't take meats into the butcher shop. So just always confirm with your butcher if they will allow you to do that. But a fruit and nut stuffing is fantastic. So nice with pork when you've got, you know, the usual suspects, some butter, some onion that we cook down, some breadcrumbs, some roasted macadamias, pistachios, cranberries, apricots, prunes, bit of orange juice to bind it together, and grated rind and an egg to hold it all together. And the prunes and the apricots just give that a nice flavour. I noticed that, once again, social media, it's great for learning about foods. They actually do trays of stuffing and serve that with the actual gravy separate to it. But I really do love to have that stuffing within the meats or the bird that you're cooking. And don't be afraid to make up some really good butters. I made a parsley and thyme butter the other day and just did that in the crown of a chicken. And it made the skin, it made the flavour good, it made it juicy, and it was just absolutely delicious. But with your fresh herbs, some butter, some onion, just sort of cook the onion just a little bit until it's soft. And then you've got your fresh breadcrumbs, and you can save your old bread for this, even the heel of the loaf, which is good. Rosemary, some sage, some parsley, thyme, and grated rind of a lemon. But I also like to use that bit of lemon juice. I think it's good. And the egg always seems to hold it together. You can use bacon, you can use garlic, you can use sage leaves, and you can change it around to actually suit. Like a sage and onion goes so well. I think with pork, it's just a beautiful, a lime and thyme stuffing goes so well with your chicken. And I love a rye and cranberry sauce, rye bread with a cranberry sauce, if you're doing a turkey. And also consider, it's not too hard to bone out a chicken or your turkey. Or get your butcher to do it. They're fast, they're quick. These guys know how to do it so well. Because that means that you've got those nice rounds of cooking with that, pardon me, that lovely stuffing that goes down so well. But also making the gravy can make a big difference. And if you are going to be doing your, say, a hot chicken or something like that, don't be afraid to be really generous with what you sit the bird on. And like whole onions, lots of garlic cloves, some really good herbs in there. Even some chilies make a big difference. And I love it when you put some leeks down the bottom, some whole carrots, sweet potatoes, and you end up with such a medley of really wonderful roast goodies there. It makes a really big difference. And even with the gravy, I know it's easy just to, you know, buy a gravy or buy a tin, but if you've got all those wonderful pan juices and you've got all the butters, you know, melted through and all the spice, herbs, sorry, and the flavourings from that, pardon me, have come through into that pan, it seems unfair not to make that really good gravy out of that. And it is so easy just to take everything out. I usually leave my garlic in there, my onion in there, some of the herbs I take out because they can be a bit stalky by the time they've cooked. And basically, as your mum would have done, put a little bit of, lower the temperature, put on the top, put the plain flour in there with a fork and stir all those beautiful juices, not on the heat, not until you've got them all happening and you've actually got that flour cooked off a little bit. A bit of butter sometimes just makes it easier, and then put your stock in. And you can alter this around to suit whichever, a beef stock if you want to do a beef, but even the good old chicken stock just adds that extra bit of flavour. And once again, it's all about flavour, isn't it? We really like that. The cooking times are fantastic. You just ask your butcher if you are getting him to do your turkey. They have a good idea of the amount of time that will be needed to finish off all those meals, and also just get a little bit creative with the different veggies or salads that you're making. Pinterest has some fantastic ideas. Social media, there's so many great chefs that are sharing. And, of course, you've got some of those fantastic pickles we talked about, some preserved lemons that you can use that just make it all taste that little bit better. Chimichurris that we've spoken about, all these things just make things a little bit more interesting. Be generous with the herbs, and I think that makes a big difference. Like once upon a time, someone would just chop up a little tiny bit of the parsley or thyme, but I find that you can actually lay a lot on there, put lots of sliced lemons, for example, in your dish if you're cooking chicken, and that just enhances the flavour. Sometimes I tuck underneath the skin, I might make up a butter or put, say, lemons in there, oranges, and all that juice just imparts into the flesh and makes for more flavour. Enjoy your cooking, and you're with Annette on Community Kitchen on 101.5 FM.